now time for the end of the year. Technically, it's the beginning of the year. We have barely been here, but we cannot not do Game of the Year on Game Pass or Pass. It is the best episode of the year. We're going to talk about our three favorite Game Pass games. We're going to pick one for all of you people that are still with us about the game that you need to play if you haven't. I am Corey. I'm joined by Game of the Year runner-up, unfortunately, Basher.
Game of the Year is clearly Stellar Blade, by the way. Best graphics.
Was that this year?
That was, by this year, do you mean 24, 25?
24, 24.
Very, very late.
Maybe that was like March.
Yeah, that was 24.
Was it really? Wow.
Yeah.
Interesting. You might have noticed that we have not posted an episode since October 6th. Life happens, but we are still dedicated to this show. We'll talk about it in our first episode of the new year. This is technically it, but we're gonna have some new faces, some new voices. We're gonna get some people in here to so we can get a regular cadence. But unfortunately, we have lives, you know, and life stuff happens. But we're in 2025. We're gonna have more episodes than ever. I shouldn't say that. We're gonna try to have more episodes than ever with more games than ever about Game Pass.
I say, please, I'm homing to that.
But that is not gonna change. That we're gonna talk about the games that we said that you should play this year and still pick a top three. It's gonna be our lowest number yet, but that doesn't mean we shouldn't do it because there's some dang good games on this list. I actually played some of them recently.
Is there really?
Oh, there is. So the following games are up for nomination for Game Pass or Pass 2024 Game of the Year. RoboQuest, Remnant 2, Slay the Spire, Resident Evil 3, Still Wakes the Deep, Kunitsugami, Path of the Goddess, and that's it. So the games that we passed on that you should not play this year were Hellblade 2, Flintlock, and Atlas Fallen. So we have about 10 games here, but we only passed on 7 of them. So normally this is a much longer process of us having to figure this out, but this one's going to go a little quicker. But hey, we're still going to do it. So I'm going to write this. We definitely are prepared for this.
I was just about to ask you to cut this next part out because I was going to ask you to send that list over to me.
I'm not cutting anything
write that
out
down at all.
Because why would we do that? We can fill this air. We can fill this air with goodness. When it comes to next year, like I said, we're going to have some new faces. One thing that I've actually been listening to a lot of our episodes over the year, we kind of agree way too much, Basher. Did you ever notice that?
Yeah, but when we disagree pretty hard.
That's true.
I'll say that.
That's true, but we tend to agree more than we don't. And you know what? Sometimes it's not good content, but I think the best content is when we don't agree, you know? And that's – we need more of that. So we're going to get some fresh blood in here that, you know, that I want to fight with. I want to throw down with. I want to be like, you know what? Resident Evil 3 is good. And they're going to be like, no, screw you. Resident Evil sucks. And I'm like, no. And yeah. So I did listen to our by far our best debate was Ori and the Will of the Wisps versus Doom Eternal for Game of the Year. That was a good one. We debated for about an hour on that one, but you know what? It went fast.
That still can go either way for me. Although I stand by our choice, I still feel like I can go either way. Those are two very, very stellar games.
Yeah, I think we made the right call. I really do. That was one that. I've listened to that one a few times, and you know, it's just a good time. It's just a really good time. So, the following games: RoboQuest, Remnant 2, Slay the Spire, Resident Evil 3, Still Wakes the Deep, and Kunitsugami. Let's talk about them. Do you see the list, sir?
I see the list.
All right, let's go. You first. What you cutting?
Slay the Spire.
Absolutely not. No. What are you talking about?
I couldn't beat it. It was too hard. So, take it off.
No.
That's where I'm at.
That is on this list.
I could beat all the other games, but that game got really hard at the end, and so I don't like it. So, yeah.
Nope. I'm going to say no. We'll come back to that
one. All right, fine. I got a backup.
Okay, what's the backup?
I want to say Resident Evil 3.
I can agree with that. I think that one and another one that I'm going to say now are kind of the weakest of the games. Resident Evil 3 Remake is a good game. But Resident Evil 3 has always been kind of the redheaded stepchild of that franchise. I guess that's not true. It's always been kind of regarded as one of the weaker entries. It's still solid, but it's short. It doesn't really add a lot. But that remake, I think, does that's the best that game's ever going to be without drastically like rewriting and changing that game, which I guess they could have done, but you know, they didn't. It's solid.
And that's the thing for me.
Yeah.
Like, that's my issue. Like, it's like, and it could be rose tinted glasses, like from way, way back, but I feel like it's almost a bit worse in terms of content. Like,
yeah,
it definitely felt off. Like, Nemesis didn't feel like Nemesis for some reason. It felt a little more goofy than I remembered, less scary. Like, I don't know. Like, the whole thing was just, it was super short. Like you said, I don't know. It felt like it just didn't need to be made.
Yeah, I'm kind of with you.
Like, which is weird because the other stuff is really good.
Well, and that's, I think that the problem is like when you're going back to remake a game that was already kind of meh, you have to make drastic changes or, you know, it doesn't. But, and that's, I think that's probably one of the biggest things, or I don't say criticisms, but like the things that I don't like about the Resident Evil remakes is like they're not really horror games anymore. You know, like they've really taken that Resident Evil 4 action zombie, you know, sort of approach. And that's the right approach, honestly. It works for people, obviously. But I'm still going to prefer a Dead Space. And that's the exact reason why I will, like, I have started and never finished Resident Evil 4 all the way through. I've started the GameCube version. I've started the VR version. I started the remake. I get like halfway through that game and every time I just stop. And the only reason I finished Resident Evil 2 and 3 is because they're short. And so I feel the same about 3. Very solid game, but nah, it's not going to be top of the list. So,
no, I agree. I mean, again, Capcom is
killing
it. Knocked out the park, I think, with these.
Killing
but,
it.
But that one is definitely their weaker one.
Onimusha, can't wait. So,
I really can't. It looks fantastic.
All right. So I'm going to go with Still Wakes the Deep. Should not be on this list.
Yep, that's my. I was right behind you on that one.
Yeah,
makes sense.
Like the game, it's actually one of the better quote walking sims I've played. It does do the thing where like you don't really know what's going on, but at the same time, like it's one of the very few times that style of story worked for me. It's got a very, very sad ending in terms of just like, you know, I think the movie Annihilation gets kind of talked about a lot with these sort of open-ended movies to where like you don't ever really see what the thing is or what is actually happening, but it tells this very interpersonal story that works. And it's one of the, like, I actually don't really like the ending of Annihilation. I know people love that movie.
I love it.
Yeah,
I absolutely love it. Adore that movie.
It gave me vibes of that in a good way. And like part of it was, is the ending of it was, what's what I want to say here? I don't want to say I can relate to it, but like, I felt it. And that's something about these types of stories that usually just don't do it for me. But good runtime, didn't overstay its welcome, looked really good. PC version was a little meh at start, but it worked, you know? So, but that's, I don't even know if that was a split decision or not. I don't remember if you passed on that one or not, though.
It wasn't.
Okay.
No, I'll think it was. I think that is, and correct me, someone will correct me if I'm wrong, but I believe that was a joint decision. It's one of the, again, like I said, it's one of the better walking sims, but for me, a walking sim is still a walking sim. I'm just waiting for that next era of walking sims to really hit, you know? Because, like, I think it was, I forgot what game really started off. It was one of those horror games that really started off, and it was another horror game, actually, series that kind of expanded on it, but really all it did was make the graphics better and make the kind of tighten up a little bit of the gameplay that's already there. I'm really waiting for that next step in the walking sim genre.
Right.
And Still Wakes the Deep is, I think it rode the wave pretty well, like very well, but I don't think it's ahead of the curve by any means. I'm just waiting for that next game to come out.
Yeah. And that's, I'm with you there. Like, it feels like we're kind of due for like that Walking Dead moment, like you called it, of like somebody's going to make one that's like, puts its own spin on it.
That was it.
Yeah. Like, yeah. And yeah, but like, yeah, it's, we'll see. So, but yeah, it's one of the stronger ones.
I was thinking Amnesia, Walking Dead, and then there was another one. Was it Outlast? I think.
Yeah. Outlast was,
was the big hit.
Yeah. That was, it was a launch game for PS4 and stuff like that. And so it got a lot of, you know, love because of that, et cetera. So Outlast was one I didn't really like either though. So,
I get it, but again, like it was on the curve. I'm waiting for that next thing to just really bring these walking sims to another level.
Right, I'm with you. So, all right, your turn. You have a RoboQuest, Remnant 2, Slay the Spire, and Kunitsugami, Path of the Goddess.
It is going to get a little difficult here for me. Because one of these games here, I think you know what it is. I think I enjoyed it a lot more than you did.
Probably.
That's just fantastic. That is.
So we can.
I'm just gonna get it out the way. I'm gonna rip it off like a band-aid because I know which ones I'm going to fight for more. Kunitsu Gami, whatever that thing is. Yeah, we'll get that one next. Although I will say, I genuinely adore that game. Like this is one of the times where Capcom really.
Don't give them any ideas, okay?
This is that game Xfinity really comes to shine.
I swear to God, if you just wish like Comcast buying Capcom in the news tomorrow, I'm coming for you.
You know, they own the internet. You know, something right. Like that is right around the corner.
Oh, God.
But yeah, this is one of those games Capcom used to make back in the day, like back when they used to make the big Resident Evils and whatnot, but then like somewhere in the middle of the year they'll drop like an Okami or something. It's like this is one of those games that you really was not expecting at all on no one's radar, but it's like these are the games they need to keep making. This is that bread and butter that gets you through April, May, like that kind of warm summer. Like you got your big hits. Your big hits, and then right in between those, you just lace these really gorgeous, really thought out B-plus level games. Like, more of these for sure, please.
I'm not with you. I think it should stay.
I'm surprised.
I think the game that should not be on this list is Remnant 2. Which our one star rating person who was very upset with us that we passed on the original Remnant from the Ashes.
Jesus Christ.
I went online to try to see if I could find it, but I think Apple changed what they show these days. And they will not show that review. Although we did get a review in July I did not see. So thank you for the 5-star review. I'll read it in a little bit. But yeah, I'm not with you on that one. I think Kunitsugami needs to be on this list for everything that you said, but also like, I think Remnant 2 is a little bit overrated. I like that game. I think you should play it, but the 9s and 10s I don't agree with.
Oh, I don't think it's 9s and 10s, but I don't think that's a reason to knock it any more points. I mean, that's a solid B-level game. And I would say it's more than solid. I mean,
I think it's
me and a buddy ran through that game way longer than we expected to. Like, yeah. And we kept going back to it. Like, it's definitely a game that
there's some magic there, but I still think that the Remnant 3 is going to be an incredible video game, but it's still not. It's still not top tier level for me. It's still really solid though.
I'd agree with that. It's still pretty janky, but I feel like there's a lot of.
There's a lot of good in that game.
There's a ton of good, and even just like the narrative in the gameplay that they do. Like, I mean, like there's so many just weird things that happen when you're playing co-op that the other person is not experiencing, but you are, and it's just like there's a lot of magical moments in that game for me.
Yeah, it's almost got that Vampire Survivors mysticism. It's not quite to that level, but it's really solid. Like there's that gun that you get where like you have to like pop this like drain thing and then you literally have to wait 45 minutes for it. You know, like you have to wait for it to fill up and then you can go back. Like it's got weird stuff like that in it. But to me, again, where it fails is like if I have to go to the internet to find that stuff, you're doing it wrong. And
I completely agree.
And no, that's you're right. And that's that Souls thing to where like I like playing that game. It's a lot of fun. I think some of the levels are not good though. Like
I would agree with that too.
Yeah.
There's a lot of like reuse assets for a lot of those submissions, whatever they might be called. But actually, now we're talking about it, what you said that sold me on it with agreeing with you is the weaponry. I remember playing that game from base level from the jump and going, why do I have the same weapon? And it's like an hour in.
Yeah.
It took a while for that game to get started.
Yeah. And then it had the, I won't say issue, but like the thing that upsets me the most, especially about like RPGs, is like you get the super weapon at the end of the game and then you can't use it. You know, it's like you don't get a chance to use it. And this game does it a little bit different, like to where like you, every time you beat a boss, like you can get kind of a weird weapon, but like then you run into that loop of like, well, I can't upgrade everything though. Like, so then you end up sticking with your main weapon or you end up trying a new weapon because it's different and unique. Like the one that I ended up trying to use a lot of time was like the pistol that was like very much like out of control. Like it shot like silver cubes or something. And I tried using that as like my secondary, and like it worked for a little while, but then I ran into this thing of just like every time I got a new weapon, like I just didn't have the resources to upgrade it. So I ended up sticking to my own weapons. Like it just, it's got that treadmill on it that I just can't believe we haven't figured it out yet. You know, like I guess Diablo's figured it out. Like Diablo does a pretty good job of like, hey, I've got this new weapon and like, yeah, I might have to sacrifice this, but I see the benefits immediately in this. And you rip that Band-Aid and you're okay ripping that Band-Aid because you kind of have to. So it's a great 8 out of 10, but they need to figure out that stuff around it. And again, the level design of some of that stuff was just not great. I really hated that cube boss too. That cube boss really upset me. The one where like they all spin and then you have to like find the hole and like,
oh it, yeah, nope, hate it, hate it,
hated
it,
that thing, right. And then the last boss wasn't that great either, so
again by the way, your last boss kind of sucks,
right?
Again, like geez, man. So,
but again, looked awesome. I like that angel looking place. That place was really cool. But yeah, I just think Kunitsugami, RoboQuest, and Slay the Spire are just better games.
I agree. Yep.
All right, there's your top three: RoboQuest, Slay the Spire, Kunitsugami, Path of the Goddess. Now it's time to pick the winner and the two runners up. So we haven't talked about RoboQuest and Slay the Spire. We talked about Slay the Spire briefly. On this list, do you have a front runner or no?
Not really, because there's three very different games.
That is very true. So RoboQuest is the only one that we haven't talked about. That is a first-person run-based shooter, basically. You got robots, you got crystals, you got shovels, you got bopping people on heads, you got sniper rifles. It's a Borderlands meets roguelike, I guess you could say.
Yeah, pretty much.
Yeah, like a lot of the weapons are, you know, like carbines, or there's like energy weapons, and then you get perks every time. You're like, hey, now you do this much damage, or now you get a shield when you do this. And then sometimes your weapons, they got rarities on it. Like it's a looter shooter, weapon based or a loot based game. We played a lot of it. We played a lot of that game. That was one that,
and I want to, no, I was supposed to say, I think I texted you like maybe like a few weeks ago saying we should play more of it, actually. And just randomly.
So there might be some recency bias because I've played a lot of it the last month or last month, not this month, but I it's a little bit more fresh in my head than Slay the Spire and Kunitsugami, but I've actually played both of those not that far ago either, maybe like 2 months ago. Kunitsugami, because that's kind of when it came out, and Slay the Spire, actually I just needed kind of a card battler, and I didn't want to play Inscription, so I've been playing Slay the Spire as well. But RoboQuest is good. That's a really good game. And I just realized that two of these games are run-based games. So as usual, there's those. Somehow we always discover every year that we actually really like roguelikes. we really like them for some reason, but we don't know it at the time. So
at this point, we need to just admit it's our favorite genre.
Yeah.
For the past like 4 years.
Yeah.
Like, it's been a problem.
Yeah.
Like to the point where I am playing also on Steam. I think it's called Pyre.
Yep.
A P-Y-R-I-E or something. Like, yeah, it's just a roguelike deck builder nonsense. It's good.
The one that Death Must Die, that's a good game too.
Oh, that's a good one too. That's another good one.
That's a good one.
No. Yeah, it's problems. We have a problem here in this show. That's fine.
80s 2 is coming, you know.
Yeah, that's in beta, right?
Yeah, it's in early access.
Open beta, whatever. Yeah. Early access.
So, and I bought it. I played it through it. I'm like, no, I'm going to wait. I'm going to wait till 1.0. So.
Yeah, that's what I'm doing. I bought it as well, just waiting. Yeah. And that's going to be game of the year when it comes out. It's fine. Right. Just waiting on it.
Comes on Game Pass, well.
We got RoboQuest, Slay the Spire.
So we talked about Slay the Spire a little bit. Like, obviously, you know what Slay the Spire is. It's a super solid game. It's a card game. You got 3 to 4 different classes. It's a run-based game, but it's what makes Slay the Spire so good. It's a very frustrating game. I will give it that. But I don't know what it is about that game that, why do we keep going back to it? Like, the runs aren't short either. Like, I have lost so many runs that are hour plus long, like, just to get nuked by a boss in the last freaking, like, it's so frustrating, yet I'm like, oh God, I gotta do it. I gotta win. I gotta freaking win.
If there's a character in the stick that's just in the form of the plot and the unlockables as well, because once you beat that game the first time, you complete your first run, there's still a lot to unlock there. There's still a lot of secrets there, so there's still a lot to keep playing for. Like, even if you're just not playing for just the run, just to be like, what's that next character going to be and what does it do?
Yeah, and it's not even, carrot on the stick is a good thing, but also, like, I think that would be its flaw is that, and I'm sure you can do it, but I'm not good enough at the game. Some of those, like, things you unlock are pivotal. Like I need that unlock to be able to finish this run. And they don't come quick. Like, some of those unlocks take a long time to unlock. After every run, you get like a little progress bar of, I think there's only like 3 permanent unlocks per class, if I remember correctly. But sometimes it's cards, sometimes it's perks, sometimes it's whatever. I'd have to guess the reason I keep going back to it or went back to it for a very long time was the roguelike aspects of it, of the perks. You know, there's some perks in there that completely change the game. And some of them that you want forever kind of thing. You can break that game, but it's hard to do. Each class has, I think, a way to sort of break it. And I think everyone sort of finds that one that works for them. Mine was the poison class. I can't remember the name of it. But, you know, causing that massive poison damage and really trying to just, like, every time I hit you, like, I might not hit you super hard, but you're going to feel it for the next 2 turns, you know, kind of thing. That was the class that I basically, yeah, I finished with. But to reach the end of that game, you got to do it with the original 3, and that's not easy.
Yeah, like, that's why I feel like Slay the Spire is something everyone should play. But I don't think it's one everyone's going to love, because you can easily hit a wall with Slay the Spire.
Yeah, like, pretty quick.
Almost too easily. Like, me, myself, I'm like, I don't think I'm ever going to finish running this game until I broke that one run. I'm like, oh, okay, now I'm back in it.
Right.
You know, like, you really have to get over a hump there.
And it's, as someone who's also been playing Inscription recently, like, Inscription has a very similar thing of just, like, there's a magic to it of, like, when you get to that first boss and you just get totally wiped and you're just like, wait, what? Like I got wiped in one turn. Like, what was I supposed to do there? And then you sort of, like, you get there the second time and you get wiped again and you're just like, what the? What? And then when you finally get there, maybe the third or fourth time, and you get a little bit farther and you're just like, okay, all right, I think I know how to do this. You know, like, you start preemptively building it up in your head of just like, okay, when I get there, I got to do this. And it's got that run-based mechanic. So you're looking at the map and you're just like, okay, like, I need to get here to where I can power up this card or I can remove this card. I think removing this card in Slay the Spire was one of the biggest, like, why would I ever need to do that? I think I actually...
Exactly, yeah.
I think I remember texting you that too. I was like, why would I ever remove a card? Like, I can't figure this one out. And once it clicked for me, I was like, oh, that's why you want to remove a card. Okay. Got it. I got it now. But you're not wrong. It took me a very long time to get there. A very long time.
No, it honestly did. Like longer than expected. And that is the magic of the run-based game. You know, it's just as you described, like, I compare it like to a Souls-like. And getting your ass beat by a boss, it's like, it doesn't, to me, it's not the same feeling. Because when you get beat by a boss in the Souls, like, it's like, I had everything I needed, and I still got one-shotted.
Yep.
Like, so what? So it's literally just get good? Like, that's me at this point in my life, is just boring. Whereas, like, in a run-based game, you get wiped that first time, you're like, oh, okay. I see what I'm supposed to do here.
Right.
I get it now. Like, because if I get this card and focus on these traits and this, so on and so forth, like, I have a whole thing I can do. And you never really feel like you're out of the game. But that said, with Slay the Spire, I will say there have been plenty of runs where I just quit probably 3 or 4 levels. And I'm just like, you know what? Yeah, I don't have the one thing that I need right now.
Yeah, I think that definitely depends on the class. I do not remember the class name, sorry. But the sort of warrior-like one, Ironclad maybe I do remember the names.
Yep, the Ironclad is it.
And I won't say what's funny, but it seems like everybody finds a class that works for them, and then like there's always one class that's like the bane of their existence, and that was definitely the Ironclad for me. The third one, like the sphere-based guy, the orb-based guy, where you kind of have like different spheres, and like one's poison, one's electric, one's, you know, they each have their own abilities, and then one's like darkness, and then you can kind of manipulate those. Like that one was more difficult to me than the poison guy, but the Ironclad, man, that took me forever. I actually never even really touched the fourth class. The fourth class was added later, but to get through like the main campaign, you only have to do the original three. And that's the other thing is like that it's, I think it's three levels, right? Like three main levels or worlds, whatever you want to call them. And then when you finish a run, you get to the heart, and then the heart's like, nope. And I'm like, well, what the heck? So then eventually you have to do all three. Once you beat all three, then you can go to the final fourth world. And like that thing just, I've only beaten it once. Like I have tried to beat with the other classes, but like I have probably put 100+ hours in that game and I've only beaten it once.
And
I don't think you got there, right? Like, I think you were just like, no, I'm done. Like, I'm not doing this anymore.
I beat it with Ironclad. It's funny you said Ironclad was the hardest one for you, because I think it took me a while to get Defect down.
Yeah.
Because there's a guy with the skull.
Yeah, that's.
And I think he was more the poison crit guy.
Yeah, he's the
poison guy.
Poison, yeah. So like you'd poison him, but then you could do like multipliers on the poison. So it'd be like 60 times 8 or something like that.
Right.
And so where his weakness is like he can't take a lot of damage, but as well as is like if you don't like that's your only sort of like offense. Like you don't really. If you don't have those multipliers, you're basically SOL by that third level.
Exactly. You're done. Yeah. Right. Exactly.
So you could, if those first two levels don't go well, your third, it's impossible. Whereas I feel like the Ironclad and the orb guy, I felt like I could at least kind of hobble through it, but it was with Poison Man, it was like all or nothing kind of thing.
Yeah. So, I mean, this is going to get a little tough for me here.
We haven't really talked about Kunitsugami in a main passion. I don't think Kunitsugami is the top of this list, and I'll tell you why. I like the game a lot. Way too long. Like, the game is still introducing new mechanics near the end of it, and I don't think the game is that complex to do that. It's a very solid game, and once you have the full arsenal at your disposal – I still don't think it's that complex. Like it is essentially a unit-based game to where you need to pick the right unit at the right time to do the right thing. It's basically a moving tower defense game, and that's basically what you do in tower defense is you need to pick the right unit at the right time. And by the end of it, I wasn't mad at it, but I was more than ready for it to be over just because there's just way too many levels.
I agree.
There's way too many levels.
Yeah, I agree.
Yeah.
And then on top of that, each level you play – just the flow of the game. Once you get that kind of flow down, you start getting a little angsty. You're like, okay, let's move along here, princess. You gotta move like literally, goddess, move faster.
Right.
So, like I killed all the things. It's time to go. Like, but the game really is kind of in love with itself in a good and bad way. Because it just really wants you to experience what's going on. And it's like, that's a great thing because it looks beautiful. It sounds beautiful. But at the same time, it's like, I have 40 more levels to do. Like, we have to get through this.
Yeah. And that's, to me, that's where, like, it seems like it was a development of, like, well, we need to pad this game. But I don't know why, because it wasn't a full-priced game. That feels like a boardroom decision.
It was close.
So I think it was $50, wasn't it?
Yeah, it was like $50, which is only 10 off from a full price game.
It's 20 nowadays. But even so, I don't think it needed to be that long. Like, I think you could have introduced two units in a single level, you know? Like, it's almost like it wants to be more than it is, but it's also – it's too afraid to pull off the training wheels too soon. And I don't – and that's – to say it's a boardroom decision might not be fair. That's – you have to kind of treat your audience how you think you need to treat them. I get kind of Doom Eternal vibes off of it, but in the opposite direction. Like Doom Eternal kind of takes 3 to 4 levels out of 12 to sort of give you the full arsenal to where you can really start playing that game to its full capacity. But Kunitsugami does it from level 1 to the last, you know, like it just never feels like it really takes the training wheels off. And so for me, it's like by the end of Doom Eternal, like I felt like I had grown, you know, like I truly grown and I've learned these mechanics. And by Kunitsugami, by the end of the last level, it's like, okay, like I just now kind of figured everything out, but it also wasn't that complex. So I feel like I wasted a lot of time. Like I still enjoyed my time, but I could have shaved like 4 hours off.
No, I agree. I think it may have been a boardroom decision, but it honestly feels more like a creative decision.
Sure.
Like I feel like someone got the keys to the castle and said, you can make this game and kind of tell your story your way. And it really, because going through the story of it, it really felt like someone had a story to tell. Like they had an experience to share. It didn't feel rushed. Although, even though it felt prolonged, it didn't feel like they were purposely trying to nickel and dime you that way. So, like, it definitely felt like someone just really was passionate about this and wanted you to experience every step along the way, which is great for the first 4 or 5 levels. But to your point, it's at the same time, it's like you can give me 2 classes a game because a level because it's not that complicated. It's not that deep gameplay wise.
Yeah. Definitely should play it. It's one of the best games of the year, but I think RoboQuest and Slay the Spire are stronger.
I would agree. Now on to our game of the year. Our Game Pass game of the year.
I'm going with RoboQuest.
How did you start this show again? You said we need more people because of what? We agree too much?
Yes.
You took the words right out of my mouth.
RoboQuest is it's one of the most fair and entertaining run-based games I've ever played. It's hard though too. But there's so much mystery in that game that it's not super compelling in terms of like, oh my God, what am I going to find around this corner? But the game always gives you these hints that you just don't quite know how to get there yet. It's almost like that Metroidvania style feeling of just like, how do I get in there? Like for instance, the first area you go, like there's an area to your right that you can't go and you don't know how to get in there. But then when you finally get in there, there's a number on that door and it's different for every game. Let's just say it's 551. And it's like, what do I do with this number? So then you have to take that number and go here. But then there's also other little mini levels like in there. So like there's the instance of basically there's 7 different crystals that you can get to, and those are kind of hidden. And so those kind of make the last level easier, but in turn they make the previous levels harder because you get more, elite enemies. Like there's a lot of stuff like that of just like mystery. And one of the easier ones, I think where most people will start is if you go from the first area to the second area, the end of that second area, there's a door that just has a timer on it. And it says like, I think it's 2 minutes or something like that. And it's like, and anytime you're in the level, it you have a little timer at the top of the screen. And so you have to get to that door in quote 2 minutes. And that's a really easy way to sort of kind of guide you into that process of like, okay, like, so there are things here that I can do. There's conditions that I need to meet to kind of break this game open. And that's kind of what kept me playing other than just like the gameplay too. Like there's a couple things that really irked me. We'll talk about it here in a second, but yeah, like that's the carrot on the stick of that game was not only just the classes and unlocking new things. Like it's got that run base of like, man, I feel like every run has a chance kind of thing. I don't think it's there when you first start. Like you're going to have to go through 5 to 6 hours of kind of like beating your head against it before you'll sort of like get the flow. Whereas like I still feel like Hades to this day, like the first time you boot up that game, you feel like you can win. You know, and maybe that's a little hyperbolic within the first couple hours.
A little bit, yeah. because it is a little hyperbolic because I would almost disagree in the sense that because this game is so. RoboQuest is a very accessible type of one of these games because on its face, it's just a shooter.
Right.
Like if you've played any shooter, which you have, you can easily jump into this game and just go. without knowing anything at all. Even those little hits here and there, those little secrets, you can still get a lot of game time before you even think to go, all right, let me look around the map this one time, because it's just a shooter on his face. And what really sold me was at the end of that first run, when we got to that last level, and it was just this open. And before you walk in into those doors, you just, I think it's like this open field, and then there's these buttons around in this room. You're like, what do these do? And before you shoot a thing, you're just looking around trying to figure things out. And that's when it clicks. It's like, oh wait, all that stuff we did leading up to this point would make this one room easier.
Right.
That's cool. But then it's like, well, how easy do we need to make it? And to your point, you just got wiped.
Yeah.
It's like, okay. So there's a lot of things you need. This game is as hard as you want it to be, as hard as you make it, because if you really want to be that guy and really kind of bust through this game the hard way, you can do that. Or you can go the other route and just play a lot more hours and unlock way more things while having a whole lot of fun still for an easier time at the end.
Right.
And even then, it's not an easy time.
No, yeah. Like, you know,
it just takes like...
There's even easy, medium, and hard settings. And like even on easy, like I kind of wish they didn't call it that, because I feel like every... like it's a tough one, right? Like I will say the flaw of this game is that there's not really a reason to beat it more than once. And that's other than progression of like, I want to fill the bars, you know, and all that stuff. I want to try it with other classes. Whereas the magic of Hades and the thing that they figured out is why do you want to keep playing a run-based game? Like when you finish it, why do you want to keep playing? And it's the story, right? Like they made a story and you get little snippets of it every time you finish it. But then there's also the carrot on the stick of the weapons and stuff. And I don't think RoboQuest quite gets there. However, what I will say is like, I wish they would kind of gate the things, and I wish it would have started on easy or quote easy, and then it gets progressively harder, because I don't think you could realistically get through this game even on easy without any crystals activated. Like those last rooms are nuts if you do not have, like they are like almost unfairly nuts. And so I'm sure those runs exist where people are like, I'm going in crystalless, you know, like
exactly.
You know that's right.
Exactly.
But like, I think you could get, like we got to those last rooms with, I think, only one crystal, and we got wiped pretty hard. So like, I don't think we ever played again together, at least with more crystals, but I've beaten that game wide open. Like I've got all the crystals, et cetera. And like, I haven't completed a hard run, but I've gotten near the end, and it's like, but I have that personal goal of just like, I want to fill up the class. Like I want to do this. Whereas Hades had that sort of, you know, or a lot of run-based games have that mystery or something like, and this one's more just like, you know, you want to do it for you kind of thing.
Exactly. Yeah.
That's going to work for some people, but for others, I think, you know, even for me as somebody who really liked the game, it was like, man, I kind of wish, you know, I'm just kind of doing this because I like the game.
I think it's going to work for a lot more people than you think, because at the end of the day, like I said, this is just a fun co-op shooter, you know? Yeah. Like you can get a lot of gameplay just out of that alone. When we look at the other games on this list or that we played, especially like Slay the Spire, like that game is, first of all, single player. Secondly, and everything's more fun with a friend.
For sure.
That's just how it goes. But also, they're both run based games. But Slay the Spire, if you play that by yourself and you hit that wall, you may never pick it up again. Like it's very possible. Whereas with RoboQuest, if you're playing with a buddy, you're already having more fun. If you hit a wall, most of the time you're not hitting a wall at the same time. So you almost watching your friend go a little bit further. So it's cooperative. It's also like, I'll have my friend through this, but also I want to get further than him at the same time. But I need his help, and it's also just kind of discovering things together, all on the basis of we're just shooting things. Like that goes a long way, I feel like, especially in this climate of gaming where shooters still reign supreme.
Yeah, and it's, we haven't really talked about the shooting. Like it's fast paced and frenetic in a way that is playtested to death, because every weapon that you pick up feels good. Like, you're still going to have your favorites. Like, the carbine is just, anytime it's a carbine, I'm taking it. Like, they have got the auto aim on the controller perfectly, like, tuned in to where, like, you feel like you can pop off those headshots. You can feel like you can hit those distant headshots with those carbines, like, really easy and still be in control. And, like, I love the Tommy gun. Like, there's going to be the guns that you find, but there's also a lot of different guns. You've got Uzis, you've got energy sniper rifles, you've got regular sniper rifles, you've got pistols, rocket launchers, grenade launchers. Like, it's got all the stuff that you want, and you're going to find what works for you. But it's play tested in a way that the shooting is just fun. Like, you feel cool doing it. You don't ever, like, to say, like, I never felt unfair might be a bit hyperbolic, but, like, I truly feel like most of the time, if I died, it was on me. Like, I wasn't playing good enough. That last level, there's just too much. There's just too much on screen. Like, I can't, like, nobody can realistically do this without, like, sort of gaming the system somehow.
There is a reoccurring unfair spot for me, and that's those challenge rooms.
Yeah,
like, that's literally just like a little circle
arena,
and it gets spawned a million enemies. Like, I'm just like, that's poorly designed. Like absolutely poorly designed, because all you do is running in a circle.
Yeah,
and it becomes boring.
And it's very much class based too. Like, some classes are just better at handling those than others.
Absolutely. Yeah,
like, the one with the turrets handles it pretty well. The one with the rockets and the shotgun, the short shotty. It works a lot better, like, because you have more at your disposal. Whereas, like, the shield based one, you just don't have enough. There's just not enough there. Even with all the perks and stuff that you can get, there's just not enough, you know. And it's not like you should be able to get through it without, you know, any challenge. But it's like you said, sometimes those are just unfair. And those those are, like, oddly,
it's just poorly laid out.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, it's oddly, like, in that third area only too. Like, the rest of the areas have some of those, but they're much bigger. But that third area just has those, like, really small circular sort of arenas. And those are by far the most difficult.
And it's harder. It's one of those things where it's harder with a buddy.
It can be, yeah.
Because when you're by yourself, the spawn is on your side.
Right.
You know? But when someone's, like, behind you a step, they're spawning in front of you and behind you at the same time. That's really, like, my biggest beef with the game is there are certain areas where it's like, let's throw in all of the things at you. And it's like, okay, relax. All right. Like, it's not that serious. But for that last level, it is kind of hilarious to see just how much they throw at you.
Yeah. And it's, I don't think I ever, what's funny is like, you're right. Like, that is some of the most frustrating parts, but it's not even because you die in there. It's because you take the most damage. And then you have to go forward, and it's like, I can't. Yep. Like, I don't think I ever really died in those, but I barely got out of them with my life. I just love Doom, I guess. But, like, Doom Eternal, that was my biggest thing with that game, is, like, there are some enemies that are literally just so large that you can back yourself into a corner without meaning to. And it's like, you could argue, well, don't get in the corner. It's just like, sometimes you're just going to. Like, it just depends what's on screen. Like, you know, like, I understand you can't account for literally every situation, but it's like, if I'm getting stuck in this, like, small room in RoboQuest where it's just like, also, like, maybe I just didn't get a good pull on the gun. You know, maybe I didn't get a good perk or something. And it's like, maybe I have a slow reload or something like that. Like, a slow reload in that room will kill you. Like, it will kill you. Like, and that's, yeah, it's, I would say it's not a nitpick, but it's definitely something that the game could do without. The game was so much fun. And again, like, just, I cannot express how good it feels to shoot carbines in that game. Like, it's just got that instant, like, pop snap to it, and you just pop, 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 and you just, things are flying out. You know, there's just orbs and stuff flying on the screen. And I love that first area, because every little place that you go, you know, there's going to be, and sometimes in the second and third area too, there's that little bot on the rail that's going to have health in it, and you know it's there, but you got to get to it. And it's timed, and it starts on one corner and it goes to the other end. It's like, I just got to kill that bot to get the health, and then I got to take care of everything else. Like, you get a strategy in your head. Like, it's just, it's got that flow to it that I don't think many shooters have, you know. Like, Doom is about the only game I can think of that has that flow of just combat, maybe like Shadow Warrior 3, of that push forward style combat of, like, I'm going to keep pushing forward so I can keep going, and I'm never really retreating. I'm always trying to push forward.
I agree. I think there's a, there's a big wave of, at least there was a big wave of those indie shooters that were starting to do that, incorporate that more. And I hope the larger shooters start doing that too, because having played through that recent more of that Call of Duty that just came out, I'm just like,
I get it. It's still our go-to game for friends, just because it's familiar, you know, but there's...
Yeah, right.
Black Ops 6 is a very good Call of Duty, but...
It's not.
Yeah. The sort of omnidirectional running, like, yeah, it's there. Like, honestly, it upsets me most because if you jump to the side when you're running, like, you look dead, and people have figured that out. So, like, they'll just, like, run and jump down in a corner so they look dead, and then they'll kill you. And it's like, oh, geez. Like, but, like, that running in eight directions, it doesn't really change anything, kind of thing. So.
Yeah, it's not a game changer, but again, like I will love more of these modern shooters to incorporate more of this go action type of thing.
And I don't.
So it's not just all indie games.
Yeah, and I don't. There's that one boss that we played where we got wiped because, like, and again, maybe we're just idiots, but it's if you kill him without pressing the switch on his back.
Oh, like that one. Like, yeah, that guy.
And so I don't. I think we hit a glitch the first time, or maybe we just played at a time it didn't there. When you start to kill him, it literally flashed, do not kill him yet. And, like, that did not happen when we played it. Like,
that's a lie. Yeah, that's like, a lie. That's an absolute lie, sir. Because
when I played it, and then I don't know if we ever played it again either, but, like, you got to hit the switch on his back, because if you don't, it's a bomb, basically, and your run ends kind of thing. But when I play it, that...
I never saw that. Yeah,
well... It's there. Maybe it's not there in co-op or something, or maybe they added it later kind of thing, or maybe we're just dumb, one or the other. But, like, that didn't feel great. Like, we were playing, and it's just, like, run over, and it's like, wait, why? What happened? Well, like,
the problem is not us. It's the gaming industry as a whole, all right? I take no responsibility for this, because back in my day, there was rules to video games. When you flash red, that means you're about to die. Right. So you shoot them faster and harder. So somewhere along the line, some developer said, what if we did the opposite? It's like, that's stupid. Don't do that. Flash any other color. I don't care. But red means you're about to die. So, I mean, like, yeah, it's the developer's fault, not mine. I don't care.
Yeah. And that's, yeah, it's a small thing, but it's something that I remember. Obviously. So, but it's a small thing. But now that's by far the most fun I've had on this list. Like, I really enjoyed that game. I love the classes. I love the unlock system. It's not perfect. Like, I still think, you know, Hades does some of the things better, like in the terms of run-based stuff. I even think Slay the Spire might do a little bit of the run-based stuff a little bit better with some of the perks and sort of the mystery. But in terms of just pure gameplay and fun, by far the most fun. Like, I could load it up right now and have a good time. So...
Yeah, and it's also like easily the most dubious on a list, because you can get your how many times have you tried to tell a friend who only plays shooters to play this other game from another genre? And they're like, nah, I only play Call of Duty Battlefield. Right. But like, this is a game you could be like, I got a co-op shooter for you. You're just like, all right. And next thing you know, it's like 4 hours later, you're like, how you like that? Want to go on another run now? I was like, didn't even know they were playing a runner. So right, like, yeah, this is a good business. Yep.
And that's like, I remember when I got my friend playing Smite, you know, like he was someone that was like, I'm never going to play a MOBA, you know, something like that. And all of a sudden he's the one texting me like, hey, you want to get on Smite? And it's like, you didn't even know. Didn't even know what just happened. Like you are on the treadmill. You are that person now. Like, sorry, but not kind of thing.
It's not their fault. Like, it's not even like me picking fun. It's like, honestly, like they're considering base functions in a gamer. Yeah. So if you put a gun in their hands, it's like, I'm already having more fun.
Right. And it's, again, it's just the accessibility of it being a shooter, you know, like that is, it's the most popular for a reason. It's easy to pick up and play. So, but yeah, so I think we're in agreement then. RoboQuest is our Game Pass or Pass game of the year for 2024. Followed up by the runners-up are Slay the Spire and Kunitsugami Path of the Goddess. So we got an hour out of that. You know, we were worried that it wasn't going to take long enough, but I think that's compared to our other lists where we had to narrow down like 17 games. But I think we still did a pretty good job. So
it was also past years. I think it was more of a this year I was surprised and happy that we are in agreement about this group of games and in this order, because when you first put out the list, I'm like, RoboQuest is going to be like last, isn't it?
Oh no,
because we didn't play it together mostly. And then it was happened so far back. I'm like, I don't know. But like RoboQuest and Kunitsugami, like those are, especially like Kunitsugami, like that's just one of those games for me where I'm just like, make more of these Capcom. Yeah,
you don't get games like that anymore. And it sucks. Like it really sucks. And it's not only that, it's like, it's good. Like it's a good freaking game. It's not just like, oh, this is a weird game that, you know, like, it's like, it's that fucking RoboCop game. Like, you got to play it because it's a B-based game. It's like, you're only playing it because it's RoboCop. It's not a great game. Like, it's the IP that you're after.
Right.
Like, I get that, too. I understand that. But this is just straight up a good, unique game. You know, it's, like you said, it's the Onimusha. You know, Onimusha is literally a samurai Resident Evil. People don't really remember that. It's literally a Resident Evil game with a sword. But Capcom made it work. You know, like they took that formula and made it work. And they took a tower defense game with a, you know, Devil May Cry. And again, the aspects aren't that deep of the Devil May Cry, but like they merge these genres and it works, you know, that it's very creative. So it's, and I guess you could say the same about RoboQuest in some ways, but no, it's just Capcom, that's the moves that Capcom used to make during the PlayStation 1 and PlayStation 2 days of, we're going to do this weird thing and you're going to like it, you know, like. So I love Capcom, man. I hate Monster Hunter, but but God, I love me some Capcom. So
someone at Capcom has to be kicking themselves, because how did this whole Souls-like genre take over the industry and you're sitting on Onimusha? Right?
But at the same time, like that's not an Onimusha game. But if anybody
it's not.
But if somebody could spin it, it's going to be Capcom. Like it's the same thing that we said about at one point we said, you know, like if they made a Devil May Cry, if they gave Devil May Cry a Souls based game, that's the game that we want. Like, because the biggest problem with the biggest problem with Souls like for us is usually the combat is just it's not the focal point of the game. You know, like it. I don't like the BS.
It flat out sucks.
Right. Like
it flat out sucks. And that's as a now even more so Elden Ring appreciator. Like as more time goes by, the more I'm like, yeah, that game's really, 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 really good. But still, the combat is the least best part about the game.
It doesn't need to be so difficult. It doesn't need to be so cryptic. It doesn't need to be so heavy. Like, I understand that that's your thing from, but what I don't understand is why every other person that makes a clone like this is like, we got to be big, heavy, and bulky. And it's just like, no, you really don't. But that's what they do.
And so like, what's the other game? Neo. That's the
Neo came out. I tried to love Neo.
My first thought was like, this could be Onimusha.
Yeah,
just like
fair.
just give me my Onimusha game.
That's fair.
Like I don't know why you guys just don't make the game anymore, but like it's coming out finally. Right. I hope it's good. I think it will be. They're on a tear right now.
I really want them to do a remaster of 2 and 3 as well, because I bought that remaster of 1, and like, correct me if I'm wrong, but I remember playing Onimusha for like 20 hours. Like that game was hard. It was difficult. I finished that game in 5 hours, like front to back. I remember trying to get like the super secret sword with the little flute and everything. You got to go through that basic it's like a horde, not a horde mode, but it's like 20 levels. It's basically a Bloody Palace before they did Bloody Palace. And like, I remember that as a kid just being like, oh, I can't do this. I did it like second try. like, is it just I was a dumb kid or like what happened there?
I think time moves differently when you're an old person.
Fair enough.
That's what it comes down to. Because any old game I play, The only old games that last that long still are the RPGs.
Yeah.
Like anything else is like, oh, this is really a 4 hour long game.
Yep.
Didn't know. Yep.
And so it's, All right. That is going to do it for this year of Game Pass or Pass. Thank you for joining us for the games that you were here for. Like I said, next year we're going to have some new blood. Life is getting a little too crazy for both of us. A lot of things have changed over, God, we've been doing this for 4 years now. almost five. God, was it 2020? I think it was. Yeah, it was, because that's when Doom Eternal came out. So that was, no, it's been 2019 then. So we started in 2019 with this show, and a lot's changed for us personally. And so we just have less time. And so we're just trying to figure that out. But we were kind of, I would say remissant. What's the word I want to say? Apprehensive about adding new people, because we feel like it was going to kind of, you know, taint the show, or, you know, like, why not just do a different show? But we kind of talked about it, and it's just like, eh, you and I are still going to play stuff together. I don't think we're ever going to do a thing where, like, you know, like, I don't, we have two people in mind, and I don't think there'll ever be a situation where, like, you will play with the person I'm going to bring on, and I'll play with the person maybe you're going to bring on. I think we're going to still keep that dynamic, but we're trying to find some good fits. But like I said, the main thing is like, we agree a lot, you know, like, it, I think the point of this show is also to kind of not agree on some stuff, but also have a good time. So we'll see how it goes. We'll add some new blood. And if it doesn't work out, then maybe we'll just make this a monthly show or something like that. So.
And then to speak more about that, just the idea of agreement. I mean, like, if you're listening and you think we're just completely wrong, like, please let us know. Because at that point, I don't I'm going to say, I don't think we're dead or wrong usually. If we're both in agreement about something, I want to say there's some truth to it.
Yeah.
Like, there's some baseline truth to it.
You know? I think what it
like,
is
there's a few times where we agreed on something and been dead or wrong.
Right.
And I think the only guy that would disagree with us is the Remnant One guy.
He was very upset. Which, again, we said we liked the game, but, like, and I think even a lot of Remnant players will say this. There's some jank in that game, and there's some really annoying stuff in that game. And they took it out of Remnant 2, which means we probably were right to some extent. But it's also, like, on a personal level, you and I, we just have very similar brains, you know? So I think we just think about things in a more analytical way than most people probably do. But we've also been playing video games, and we worked in the industry, and, like, we talked to some, you know, I don't think you really talk to any developers anymore, but I still talk to some developer friends, and it's like, we just think about stuff differently than the casual Game Pass player. So it'll be interesting to have some new blood on here. So it's going to be fun. So. But all right, anything else you want to say before we close out this year?
Yes, because it's a short list, I don't want people to think, I don't know why I'm worried about this, but I'll let people know. We didn't just play 8 games this year. We played a lot more than 8 games, just in general. This is definitely the Game Pass show, though, so it's the Game Pass games. I do want to take some time out just to say, like other games I played last year in 2024, I greatly enjoyed my time with Black Myth Wukong.
Yeah, I wish that was on Game Pass, because I don't like that game at all.
I love it. Like, absolutely loved it from beginning to end. I'm on New Game Plus right now. And I will say, it's. I think something I like about it so much is that it's not a Souls-like. It's just a boss rush game.
Yeah.
Like people keep saying it's a Souls-like. It's like, it's just a boss rush. It's good stuff. And then I'm happy to say I played and finished not only that game, but a few other ones. Like
you played
Final Fantasy VII Rebirth.
You played Metaphor, right?
Yep. Played through that. Beat that.
See,
great game.
I've been playing a lot of games this year, but I've been playing old stuff. Like, I didn't play a lot of that stuff that came out this year. I want to play Metaphor, but, like, dude, I don't got 100 hours. You know?
Like, it is that long too. So, again, proud of myself that I actually picked up new games and played and beat them all the way through. Metaphor was phenomenal. I think it's Atlas's best. It'll be interesting to see what they do after this, because any other Persona game after this is just going to be almost a letdown.
Right.
Because to take the game out of high school, to incorporate the relationships the way they've always have, to take all of their IPs and put into this one game the way that they did, I feel like it's like the magnum opus. There needs to be something brand new coming out of them at this point. And I don't think it's going to be. I think they're going to go right back to Persona.
The next game will be Persona from them, but I'm curious if they'll do a Metaphor 2 kind of thing. I will play Metaphor at some point, but it just wasn't the right time, you know? Like, I just couldn't. I was like, I can't do it. But I will definitely play that game sometime. But the problem is 2025 is stacked. So we'll see. But I played Legend of Zelda Echoes of Wisdom, and that it's very rare that I finish a Zelda game and the modern Zelda, because I don't like Breath of the Wild. I don't like Tears of the Kingdom. Like, I finished Breath of the Wild, but I hate finished it. But I didn't do everything, and I did not like Tears of the Kingdom at all. So when Echoes of Wisdom came out, I was like, eh. But my friend bought it, and I game share with him. So.
Well, actually, speaking about earlier, that's probably one game where we both agree, and the rest of the industry and players will say we're wrong. Because right. I also do not like, to the point where I almost despise Breath of the Wild. I really don't like Breath of the Wild, I can tolerate,
but I do not like Tears of the Kingdom. To me is nope.
That's even worse. I hate it. That's even worse. Tears of the Kingdom. That's even worse. I can at least beat Breath of the Wild, but Tears of the Kingdom just sucks. I don't care. I don't care.
Echoes of Wisdom has its problems, and like you definitely, it kind of like it has it. It shows its its trick up its sleeve. You know, like about halfway through that game, you kind of seen everything it has to offer, but I still enjoyed the wackiness of it. Like, nothing will beat like a middle of a boss fight, thrown out of bed and taken a sleep so I can get some hearts back. You know, like it's a wacky game that I just enjoyed from start to finish. So that was one that I played that I liked a lot. I actually played a lot of Tekken 8. I don't know why.
Oh,
like,
nice.
When that game came out, people were just talking about it, and I bought that on Xbox, and I probably put about 50, 60. I'm terrible at it still. Killer Instinct will always be my fighter, but Tekken 8, I had a good time with it. So I'm going to be...
That's the good pick up and play fighter.
Oh, for sure. Yeah. And it's, for some odd reason, I don't know why it's Tekken, but, and it's not even Mortal Kombat these days. What did Mortal Kombat this year? I don't remember.
We got Mortal Kombat 1. Didn't
yeah,
we?
But was that the tail end of last year or was that this year? I guess we have Google. Yeah. I guess I could look. Mortal Kombat 1 release date.
23.
Was it? Okay. So I didn't really like that one, you know? Like it was okay. So like I guess I was kind of looking for a fighter.
No one
yeah,
did.
It was a weird one where I think the industry liked it, but a lot of the players were like, "Eh, it's fine." And then, so we're going to be talking about Indiana Jones this year / next year. So we will talk about that. I'm going to be playing Final Fantasy, but I'm playing it on PC because I'm going to be that guy. And that game looks like butt on PlayStation 5. So I'm going to be
Rebirth.
It's a very blurry game.
you're going to like it up until you're going to like it just fine up until a point. And then the combat's going to keep you going, and then you're going to hit that point in the game where you're like, I want you to be over,
and it won't be,
be over.
I think it seems like most people are saying hour 1 to 60, or it's good. Quote, you know, by the end you're like, okay, let's get going. It's like, oh, you want me to play another 40 hours? Like,
yeah, it's basically that. And then also, how much do you remember of the original story? Because it's the more, in my opinion, the more you remember, the less enjoyable the actual story is.
That's interesting because I don't have an affinity for Final Fantasy VII at all. So I've been kind of playing these to try to like, I don't say relive it, but like it's. I think it was interesting what they were doing with the whole remake of it. Like, it's not actually a remake, I guess. Spoilers, whatever. I'm interested to see what happens. I basically haven't had it spoiled at all, so I don't even know about the stuff, but whatever. But like, I tried playing it on PS5 and I was like, it works, but it does not look good. It really doesn't. And so at one point I was like, maybe I'll wait for PS5 Pro, but I was like, no, I'm not spending $800 on that thing. And then they said it's coming to PC. And like, if you haven't seen those screenshots between PS5 and PC, it's dumb. Like, it looks like a completely different game. And I'm like, okay, I'm glad I waited, kind of thing. I guess I'm becoming that guy. But so I'm going to be playing that next year. And a game that I super enjoyed that was not on Game Pass was Space Marine 2. I played that a lot.
Oh, yeah.
I liked that game a lot. I liked that game a friggin' lot. We don't get games like that anymore. It's very similar to Kenitsugami. It's like, it's just a straightforward shooter. Played that quite a bit. I love the mission mode or whatever after you finish the campaign. The multiplayer was kind of straight up multiplayer. I played it for a little while, but not my kind of thing. But no, it's the game looks good. It runs okay. Hopefully you have a VRR TV. But no, I like that game a lot. So, and they apparently it sold extremely well and they're going to keep supporting it. So I'm going to be all over that one as they keep doing stuff. So Helldivers 2 was one you played a lot this year, right?
That came out last year?
This year. Or yeah, sorry, last year. Yeah, 2024.
Did it now. Oh yeah. Absolutely. It was March, that game was phenomenal. That just good bug smashing goodness. Yeah, we definitely enjoyed that game a whole lot. The biggest issue with that game is they didn't support it the right way. You know, right. The battle pass kind of sucked, and then they kept doing these balance updates that just completely broke the game in the worst way. Like, for whatever reason, I just truly will never understand why developers think this way. But you give players this world with these tools and they create their own gameplay. So they start busting the game wide open. You have the favorite weapons, the favorite kits. And the first thing you do is say, let's nerf everything that you guys like.
Right.
Like for what? I genuinely don't understand the point of that. Like, do you think we're going to run through your battle pass too quickly? I mean, that's a good thing for you. Just make more content, Like, what's the harm in dropping more bombs in your game? It's every single balance up that they did was just more dumb than the last, to the point where, and that's one of those games where there's not a lot of levels. So you're just replaying the same levels over and over again at a harder and harder difficulty. Right.
And it's Destiny. So like Destiny had that same problem too, of just like every time they opened their mouth or did something new about that game, it's just like you're missing the point, bro. like you're not listening to us, kind of thing.
They're literally not. Right. Because it's like they'll do the update, and then you go through their Twitter or their Discord, and everyone's like, "Why are you breaking our kits? Stop nerfing all of our stuff." And it's like, do you guys like that shotgun? Yeah, it's kind of sucks now. I was like, what are you doing? Like, what's the point of this? So yeah, so we gave up because we literally couldn't play the game anymore. Like everything we figured out that works, they just took it away from us. So we stopped playing that kind of early. Like, I think if you look at the Steam charts, like a lot of people bounced off that game after that, like third or fourth month, like a lot of people did, because like that's when the big update started to hit and people were just kind of like, we're done. Like, you guys don't listen to a thing we say.
Yep. So, but yeah, I think that's probably pretty much it. And like, yeah, so for me, like this year, there was a lot of great stuff, but like, it wasn't like, you know, there wasn't a lot of stuff that called to me specifically, you know, like Doom next year, that's a game that, you know, I'll be all over that game kind of thing. Fable, that's a game that I'm really gonna, you know. The IPs and the franchises for me, like the heavy hitters, just weren't here for me. So that's why I was venturing into a lot of older stuff. I've actually been playing through the Ratchet and Clank series. I've never played through it, so I've been playing through that. I did play that Prince of Persia game too, the Metroidvania. That was pretty solid too. Lost Crown, I think it's called.
I
like that game a lot. So, but yeah, so like in... Go ahead.
I was going to say, like, last year was definitely the year of the PS5 for me. Like, it's the one we dusted off the most.
Yeah, that's fair. I played my PS. Yeah, for the games, I played my PS5 more than I ever did. So,
yeah, like for the games that spoke to us, definitely Black Myth Wukong. But we also played a ton of Stellar Blade. Just like I feel like we got like a good amount of just solid. Just like, again, those almost throwaway games. Like they would have been years ago. Like Stellar Blade, like C-level game, but like still just fun to look at. Clearly. Fun to hack and slash. It's kind of like mine off. I break things. I have fun. Like sometimes you just need to make a game that does the bare basics and you kind of win. So like definitely last year was the year of PlayStation for me. Question before we get out of here. Any games looking forward to next year? What's the biggest
one? Definitely ones? Doom Eternal. Age of the Gods? No, what is it called? Doom, Gods. What? Why can't I not? the ancient gods, right? Oh, the Dark Ages. Dang it. Doom the Dark Ages. I was combining. I just played Ancient Gods, which is the expansion to 2, so I combined them. Doom the Dark Ages, for sure. And honestly, Fable. Like, I think Fable is either going to it's either going to be way overhyped and underdeliver, or people are not ready for it. Like, that's, I think there's something about that one that's calling to me. But this is Microsoft we're talking about. This is the people that constantly overpromise and underdeliver, or just can't stop talking like out of both sides of their mouth. But that game looks really solid. They've been talking that one up, but also the developer of Playground, like, it, the trailers are really good. You know, like, they either have a great marketing team and they're going to fool me, or I don't think people are ready for that one.
That's probably my most, intriguing game of next year, because I'm not hyped for it at all, because it's Fable, and Fable has been on a major downswing, but at the same time, like, I have no idea what they're doing with this.
Peter Molyneux,
that's going to be the biggest wild card for me. Peter
Molyneux not being there is one reason why I'm super excited.
That's
about
a plus.
It, yeah.
That's a huge plus.
The Avowed is the other one from Microsoft and Game Pass that, like, I love Obsidian. I love that. I love their take on their games, like the Outer Worlds. It's a Fallout game. You know, it's a 40-hour game that I can be done and finish it. I don't need Baldur's Gate 3. Fantastic game. Witcher 3, fantastic game. But I can only do those so often, you know? Like, I don't like those 80-hour treks every time. The fact that Avowed is going to be a solid 40-hour RPG, sign me up. Like, I am all about that, so.
Yeah, that should be pretty good, too.
GTA 6?
That's not coming out this year.
They claim they're – I think it will. They seem very.
That's not coming out this year.
They seem very, very, determined on that one.
I trust Rockstar, but I don't think it's coming out this
year. We'll
find out. I think it's going to miss it.
And on that topic, Outer Worlds 2, they actually at the Game Awards, they did say that's coming next year. So we got two titles from this. Granted, Avowed was supposed to be this year, and they pushed it. So that'll be interesting to see. But South of Midnight supposedly coming this year, and that's a big question mark for me. That team has never really had a huge game like this. So it'd be interesting to see, this is the first title. This is one of Microsoft's picks, of the great acquisitions of that they've done. So we'll see about that one. I think the Ghost of Yeti, Yotai, whatever the Ghost of.
That's coming out. Big fan. Looking forward to it.
I want to like that game more than I do. And I don't know what it was about that first one that just did not hit with me. So I'm hoping maybe the second one will. Maybe they'll change it up in a way.
I think it's gonna be more exactly the same, which is fine for me. I'm not gonna lie to you.
Assassin's Creed Shadows.
I'm good
on Ubisoft, man.
I'm good. I'm
definitely good on that one.
I mean, like, I'm going to give the old college try because I feel like this is the one where they may have took the most feedback at the very least, but. What they do with that, who knows? I don't think they would.
Yeah, look, I am that person. I like many people where I was in for the original Ezio trilogy, which ended up being like 6 games. And I've been, Black Flag kept a lot of us because of the pirate aspect and the ship combat. That's really what it was. Yep. But after that, man, like I have tried to love that series and they just won't let me. Like every once in a while they'll get me on one of them. Like I'm not playing this one, but like there's 2 or 3 in there I just didn't play. But like I played Valhalla simply because it was a launch title with Series X. And it's like, you want something new and shiny. Didn't like that game at all. Did not like that game at all. So like everything about Shadows is like, I love the setting and everything, but it also from a gameplay standpoint, I'm like, nope, I don't think I'm in on this one.
I think I'm just dumb with that whole idea of the thing that they're doing. I just like the gameplay is never going to reinvent itself. Clearly.
I mean, you could argue that they went for like the Assassins thing to more of like a third person, Witcher style game. But I don't think it's better for that. Like, I think it actually lost me more for that. Like, it became more of like a true RPG with like loot colors and all that. It's like, dude, I don't need any of that. I really don't. But that's what those games are now. So,
but this seems to be not so much that, but I'm like, I still don't care. Right. Like, just again, world-wise, world-building-wise, like, is the Apple eating slow thing? I don't know, don't care. None of it matters anymore. So, like, I'll probably play it again. If the gameplay loop is there, it will get me, but I just don't think it will be.
And part of that is, too, is just, like, while that stuff was obtuse and hard to follow, the Apple of Eden and Desmond and all that stuff, I want to say it strayed so far from it. Like, they stopped having a cohesive narrative. Even if it was impossible to follow, you could still at least, like,
it's still a through line.
And you can still just be like, what, like, it's lost. You know, it's like, what the hell is going on? Like you still wanted to know. It's like, what's going on? Like, what am I going to find here? And they just stopped. Like, after the Desmond story, they just stopped with that sort of modern day story of, like, throughput. And like you said, there's some connections here and there, but there's nothing. And like, even Ubisoft, like, they don't even try on that anymore. And it's just like, it's weird to me that that's what they did. That's such a weird company right now.
It really is. It's so weird. They took the whole premises that who cares? We're just assassins in different places in different times now. That's all it is. And again, that would be fine
if you would, you forgot about the other part of the game. Like, you can't just leave it there and not develop it. Like it's still in there. There's still modern day quote stuff, but it's like, you don't do anything with it. So it just feels weird now. Like, yeah.
Yeah, it's just weird. It's probably the weirdest series out right now.
People still buy it though. So, and then obviously there's Switch 2, which that's going to happen. I'll be there day one. Rumors Mario Kart 10, which they're pulling Windows, I guess. And they're just not.
I don't care how much they charge for that system. They're getting all of the money.
The rumor is they're going to have 7 million units available at launch. So,
all right.
So I'll be all over it.
Listen,
yeah, I'll be all over it. For Metroid Prime 4, that's it. That's the game I want for that thing. But also it's a Nintendo thing. So, like, I've been playing the latest Mario Party, which, funny, is one of those things. It's called Mario Party Jamboree. And it's like, all the reviews, like, this is the best Mario Party in years. And I'm like, this is the same freaking thing. Like, it's still, like, I don't.
It's always,
I know.
The
and
same.
It's just like, I don't.
And I'm okay with that.
I don't understand, like, those reviews. I'm looking at them. Like, I was excited to play it. And I was like, this is the same thing. Like, what are you guys talking about? But, like, again,
it's the same game all the time, and I love it for it. Like, I don't see it's just more mini games.
That's fine. Like, that's all I care about. There are games that have worse mini games for sure, but like, the mini games in Jamboree are good, but they're not this like. It's just an interesting thing.
They're all the same mini games. You waggle the stick, you shake the controller. Like it doesn't matter. Like, it's just the whole point of Mario Kart is to get mad at you. Is to have your girlfriend be mad at you for a week and a half because you didn't let her win. Like, it's great. Right.
And it's wild. So, but yeah, there's not much. We don't know anything about it other than it's supposedly coming next year. We don't need launch titles. What's interesting though to me is we haven't had a 3D Mario in forever. So I have to assume that's going to be probably pretty close to launch. I would assume, right?
We got Astro Boy. It's close enough.
I did play Astrobot. I didn't. It's fine. I don't. Game of the year.
Game of the year. We're talking about.
I don't know about that one, guys.
What are we talking about? It's game of the year. Easily game of the year. Sure. Yeah, absolutely. PlayStation pays some money for that one. I gotta say, I'm looking forward to some questionable games. Like, this is gonna be my favorite year for just questionable, probably not good, but I'm going to like them games. Like, Dynasty Warriors Origins is right around the corner.
Yeah, I still feel like I owe you for that one.
Oh, because the
nine, whatever it was,
eight.
Yeah, that was rough, man. That was rough. Like, my
buddy just went back and played it just to look at it, and he sent me screenshots. I'm like, it really looked like that. So it looked like man, so man. So but this demo.
Oh, there's a demo.
I liked it.
Okay.
Oh, I liked it. Play that demo. It's
God, this is the first one since that, isn't it?
Yes. Oh,
it's been like 5 years, six years.
I think they did a thing. I'm just saying. I'm not saying game of the year, but I think they did a thing with Dynasty Warriors. Right. It's fun. I played the demo four times. I keep trying to fight Lubu.
And, you have me sold right there, because that's what you do. Like, that is what you do in Dynasty Warriors.
Dude, he comes. Gameplay wise, I gotta say. Again, they tried a thing. There's a combat system. Let's put it. Like, it's they did a thing, so I'm in. Like, they got me.
All right, we'll see.
And then that, what do you call it? The Metal Gear Solid 3 Delta? Thing, Delta.
Now, you want to say something that's never coming out? I don't think that's ever coming out.
They said it's coming out. I don't know. It's going to be fine, I think. I hope it's going to be really, really good. I hope they do something special with it.
I hope so, too.
They won't.
Probably not.
Yeah. But I hope they do.
I mean, Silent Hill 2 ended up being surprising. Like, I was dogging that game. I was like, it's Bloober Team. It's not going to be good. But I know people that love Silent Hill. Like, no, it's really good. I'm like, okay, I'm happy for you, genuinely. Like, so hopefully that one is that's going to be another one where it's just like, God, I don't know, guys, but I don't have an affinity to that game. So I genuinely hope it's good. Like, I really do.
And then
Judas is the only one that
supposedly
is Judas coming out next year or this year.
It's not this year.
Yeah, it says there's no date, but as right now it was slated for 2025 at one point, but it does not say when. But that would be an interesting one. I wonder if that will hit. Anything that man does, Ken Levine, I will be. I'll check it out. So,
Do you think Death Stranding 2 is coming out next year?
I do, actually, because I think he wants to ship that so he can do his other two games.
All right. I'll play that one, and that's And then there's the crazy rumor. I'll end my thing on. There's a crazy rumor that Crazy Taxi is coming back. It's going to be an open world MMO.
I'm not with Sega yet. The way I am with Capcom, where like I'll do anything. Like I'm in for anything they do, but that's bold, man. Like they are putting their money and time into a Crazy Taxi. And I'm like, all right, like
I wouldn't go, like I would never put that on my bingo card, Crazy Taxi A, and then B, open world MMO. How's that work? I don't know. Give me a really killer soundtrack and I'll
play it. If they do that game right, it could be incredible. You know, like I think there's a lot of things that you could do with Crazy. It's exactly like you said. Like you, I honestly need to take a Tony Hawk approach because that's not quite what I mean. But it's more. It's just like you need a fun loop, you need good music, and that's it. Like you just you need it. It's got to be simple. You have to take it seriously though. Like you can't just crap it out. You know, like you have to really like that original Forza Horizon is a game that should not have worked. And now they are five games in and it's incredible. And the only reason it works is because they took their time. They made a loop that was really fun. And part of that was the soundtrack. The soundtrack of those games is like 30% of it. Like they just put in songs that make you want to drive. And that's what you got to do with Crazy Taxi. Like put a fun loop. Let me have some fun with some friends. Like let me have some wacky mode, you know, so like just, but do it. Don't just poop it out there because it's Crazy Taxi. Like you, give it the time and the respect it deserves, and then we'll have a good time.
I'm really hoping for it. That's what I'm really just throwing all my dice into. But yeah.
No, yeah. I will buy it just to support their stupid decision, even if it sucks. But
I think 25 is going to be. I think it'll be a better year for gaming than 24 was.
24 was a very solid year, I think, with some surprises. Like I don't think exactly. People thought Indiana Jones would be as good as it is, and I also don't think that they thought Metaphor ended up being
a lot of people
being super great, and I think Rebirth ended up probably being better than people anticipated too. So
I know a lot of people. We're seeing the screenshots and gameplay from Black Myth Wukong way well before it came out, thinking it's not a real game. And it's made by a Chinese company. So they wrote off completely, only for it to be near top of the list for a lot of people. So, like, yes, a lot. So, solid year, a lot of surprise, with some surprises. But I think 2025 is going to be, I would say, a notch above that almost easily.
And specifically for me, there's just more stuff that's going to call out to me. For sure, like already, like again, GTA 6. Like I know it's easy, but like, but that has potential to be the biggest video game of all time. Like legitimately, right?
It will be.
So it's gonna be very interesting to see what they do with that game. So
the amount of people still playing GTA online right now, Yeah, it will be.
All right. I think that's going to do it. I did hear that there's going to be an 83-inch G5 from LG that will have the MLA panel. So I might be making a very, very expensive purchase in my future. That's what I'll say.
It must be nice living in Indiana.
Yeah, it kind of is. Sorry, I feel sorry for you. You should move. You should move.
I'm just saying, like, it's must be nice.
You should move. Supposedly the G5 is going to be 40% brighter than the G4, which, if you know anything about OLED TVs, that's crazy. And I think it's time. I think it's time.
It's really not time, because there's nothing no one's making is going to take use of that. But
there is 4K Blu-rays for sure. So we'll see. But the thing is like I made the like I got the CX at in a 77, and then the 83 of the G4 didn't have the MLA panel, so it was kind of like, well, I kind of made the purchase of like, I can't go any bigger now, like. My upgrade from now, I always got a bigger TV and a better TV, but now it's like this has been the worst investment in terms of upgrade. But now that they have an 83 with the MLA panel, I'm just like, all right, like I can now justify it again. Because before it was going to be like, it's just you always get a bigger screen, right? Like that's always what you do. But then I couldn't do it.
I mean, so. I mean, yeah, I mean that's the baseline usually, right. But there was this time not too long ago with TVs where it's like, you want the better picture.
Yeah.
Like, even if you go a little smaller, you want to go, like, you don't go way smaller. You don't get go 10 inches smaller, but yeah, I would
like,
go
like a 42 to a 40,
3 to 5 inches like, smaller. Yeah. Yeah,
right. As an OLED fan, like I can't not have OLED now. I just can't.
Yeah, I got CX in the living room, and
I have an OLED monitor now. It's like, I can't do it. Like, I can't not game on a fucking OLED. So even though I do that sometimes, but it just depends. Like, if I'm watching a movie on an OLED or not on an OLED, I'm like, what am I? Like, this is what you look at. Like, I don't know if you know this, but guys, there's way better tech. Like, how do you do this?
Yeah, my buddy has the big 80 something ish screen at his place over there. I'm just like. And he's so proud of it. I'm like, you know, this is a little blurry right, like mess,
this,
right? Like,
this isn't LCD.
like it's so big. And it's like, I don't care. Like, it's not really an OLED. Like, what are we talking about?
Color accuracy. Crap. Look at those blacks. They're not black. Like, I don't.
whoa, guys. Chump on an office jet, guys. Slow
as a
down.
Black man should be upset when people don't have OLEDs because they're not true blacks. It says it on the box, true blacks. So, not to make this racy.
No, I'm representing them. Exactly. No, well, I'm not the blackest person I know now. I have two blacks in my living room. There you go.
All right, on that note about blacks on televisions, we're going to end this episode. But that is going to do it for 2024, even though it's 2025. But we hope you enjoyed it. 574-651-9256. Got it. That is your number to call if you want to let us know your favorite game or shoot us a text message. And we will see you in 2025.
Good day, sirs.
And we are out.